Whenever you read Psalm 119 or sing it as we've just done, it strikes you how the love of the psalmist for the law of God, as we're about to read it, the word of God. Thy statutes, stand to thy statutes I do not forget. The wasting grief I know. Where even when I'm in the depths of trial and despair, I'm not going to forget your law. The last stanza, almost consumed. Yet from thy law I have not turned away. In thy loving kindness give me strength that I may still obey. And so we pray and we ask the Lord to open our hearts so that we may know his law, be reminded of his law and his word, and that we may live according to it throughout the ups and the downs, the difficulties, but also the joys of our lives. So let's turn together to God's law, to God's word, Mark chapter 14. Mark 14. We're going to be looking at the denial of Peter and the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. I want to do a bit of background reading. So we're going to start reading at verse 26. We'll read 26 to 31, and then we'll skip a portion, and we'll read from 53 to 65, and then we'll read the passage we're going to be focusing on. So first, Mark chapter 14, verse 26. 26 in Mark chapter 14. When they had sung a hymn, Jesus had just been with his disciples in the upper room. When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. And Jesus said to them, you will all fall away, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. But after I am raised, I will go up before you to Galilee. Now Peter said to him, even though they all fall away, I will not. And Jesus said, truly I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. But he said emphatically, if I must die with you, I will not deny you. And they all said the same. That is, the disciples all said the same. Then move over to verse 53. And they led Jesus to the high priest. This is after he'd been arrested. And all the chief priests and the elders and the scribes came together. And Peter had followed him at a distance right into the courtyard of the high priest. And he was sitting with the guards and warming himself at the fire. Now the chief priests and the whole council were seeking testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but they found none. For many bore false witness against him, but their testimony did not agree. And some stood up and bore false witness against him, saying, we heard him say, I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and in 3 days I will build another, not made with hands. Yet even about this, they did not agree. Their testimony did not agree. And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, have you no answer to make? What is this that these men testify against you? But he remained silent and made no answer. Again the high priest asked them, are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? And Jesus said, I am. And you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming with the clouds of heaven. And the high priest tore his garments and said, what further witnesses do we need? You have heard this blasphemy. What is your decision? And they all condemned him as deserving death. And some began to spit on him and to cover his face and to strike him, saying, prophesy. And the guards received him with blows. And now the passage we're going to be looking at. And as Peter was below in the courtyard, so this is kind of, these two stories kind of overlap, one in the courtyard, one in front of the Sanhedrin. One of the servant girls of the high priest came. And seeing Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, you also were with that Nazarene Jesus. But he denied it, saying, I neither know nor understand what you mean. And he went away into the gateway, and the rooster crowed. And the servant girl saw him and began again to say to the bystanders, this man is one of them. But again he denied it. And after a little while, the bystanders again said to Peter, certainly you are one of them, for you are a Galilean. But he began to invoke a curse on himself and to swear, I do not know this man of whom you speak. And immediately the rooster crowed a second time. And Peter remembered how Jesus had said to him, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. And he broke down and wept. You'll be helped if you keep your Bible open as we'll be going through this passage as we go through the sermon. Let's come before our God in prayer. O gracious and eternal Father, Lord, you know that these words are merely words on a page, and your word is merely some words that flow into our ears without the powerful work of your Holy Spirit. And so here again this afternoon, as we hear the proclamation of your word, O Lord, would you visit us with your Holy Spirit? And would you touch each heart here? Open our hearts to hear you speak to us. And may we truly, Father, be touched and changed and transformed to live for you, to honor you, and to bring glory to you in our lives. Oh, Father, in that light, would you anoint my lips to speak your truth. In the name of our risen King and Redeemer, the Word of God. Amen. Congregation of our Lord, isn't it true that the history of redemption is littered, it's absolutely littered with great saints who have fallen? Think of some of the characters of the Scripture. Think of, for example, Adam, the first man mentioned in the Scriptures. And you can't, as you think about Adam, you can't help but think about the fall. How far he fell, and how great was his fall, and how great the curse now has been on creation throughout that and since then. Think of Moses, that great humble man of God. And as you think about Moses, you think about his killing of the Egyptian. You may think about his taking the people of Israel through the desert. But you're also reminded that he didn't make it into Canaan. Why not? Because he brought reproach to the Lord when he struck the rock instead of keeping the word of God as holy and speaking to the rock. David, the man after God's own heart. And when you think about David, you also are reminded, are you not, about his sin with Bathsheba. Solomon, with all his God-given wisdom, his many wives who turned his heart away from the Lord in his later days. Josiah, that godly boy king in the history of the kings of Judah, pride got the better of him, and he died at the hands of Pharaoh in battle. And even Hezekiah, a godly man, a godly king, pride at the end of his life was his downfall. And now we come to Peter. Great Peter. One of the intimate three. The one who was never going to deny his Lord. Denied his Lord. And it's a true story, but it's also a very painful story, isn't it? And it's painful because we see ourselves in Peter. I know initially what we tend to do is, yeah, that's typical Peter. But we see ourselves in Peter, don't we? We see our own lives and we look back on our lives and it's littered with regrets. Regrets when we, maybe times we should have opened our mouths and spoken for the Lord and we didn't, or times that we spoke up when we definitely should not have, or said things that we should never have said. How often have we not focused on our good reputation, on our good name? We focus more on the relationships we have with our colleagues, our family members, rather than the good name of our God. Or even congregation, our, dare I say, our ordinary sins, our own desires. We put our desires and our rights over God's desires and God's law. You see, really, the denial of Peter is not that far from our own lives. And you may know, in Mark chapter 8, just turn back with me a few pages, Mark chapter 8, verse 34 to 38. I realize not that long ago you've been going through the book of Mark as well, and no doubt this is become quite a familiar passage. Mark chapter 8, 34 to 38. When Peter has just confessed as Lord, he said, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." And then he begins to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things. And he says, calling the crowd in verse 34, calling the crowd to him, with his disciples, he said, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself. Let him take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? What can a man give in return for his soul?" And then listen to verse 38. "For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with his holy angels." Congregation, the denial of our Lord is a serious sin. This, on the part of Peter, this was not a oopsie. Oh well, no big deal, let's move on. "Whoever is ashamed of me, I will be ashamed of him before my Father." It's not an oopsie from us either, congregation. This is a serious sin. And so let's look at this denial of Peter. And let's look briefly as well at Peter's restoration. And what we're going to do is we're going to move our way through this passage. And we'll see how this affects us and applies to us as we go on. Of course, we have courageous Peter following Jesus to the courtyard of the high priest. Now, we didn't read the account of the garden, but as Jesus was being arrested, we read in Mark that one of them took out his sword and began to throw his sword around a little bit, and he cut off the ear of the servant of the high priest. We know it was Peter. We don't even, in one of the other accounts, we know it's Peter, but we don't really need to be told it's Peter because we know Peter's character, don't we? I mean, if any of his disciples would do that, that would be Peter. And we need to be reminded that he was a courageous man. He followed Jesus along with John. He was allowed into the, we don't have that here in this account, but in one of the other accounts, he was allowed into the courtyard of the high priest through John, the apostle John, that is. He loved Jesus, you see. He didn't want to be too far away. He's concerned for Jesus. And yet his love didn't overcome his fear. He's right, as it were, in the lion's den amongst Jesus' enemies. He tries to make himself as inconspicuous as possible. But just knowing Peter's luck, as we would say today, maybe somebody recognizes him. Now, Jesus had been in the temple, so no doubt Peter had been in the temple often as well in the week preceding this, and maybe the servant had seen Peter there at the temple or elsewhere, we're not sure, but she sees something familiar about him, and so she says to Peter, "You also were with that Nazarene, Jesus." Now, it was a servant girl, one of the servant girls. The word in the original emphasizes the fact that it's a servant girl. Now, that same word is also used elsewhere to refer to servants that might have been older than girls, but we don't know how old this girl was. Maybe she was a teenager. Maybe she was younger. Maybe she was a little bit older as well. But I think we need to see the contrast here, because the story just before that, we have Jesus standing in front of the high and mighty. Jesus standing in front of the spiritual leaders, the top notch, those who were right at the top, those who had the power at least to condemn him to death, while Peter is standing in front of a servant girl. So you have this huge contrast, don't you? But still, we have to grant the fact that the situation is fairly uncomfortable. I mean, if this gets out, that Jesus is one of the, that Peter is one of the disciples, in this crowd at the courtyard, then Peter is probably not in a very good situation. He's going to be in a bit of a pickle. So Peter says, look, I've got no idea what you're talking about. And then listen to what we read. I neither know the man, I neither know nor understand what you mean. And he went out into the gateway, and the rooster crowed. The rooster crowed. It's almost as if this is a hint, Peter. Peter, listen up. The rooster's crowing. But Peter moves to the doorway. I doubt it was a bit darker by the doorway. Maybe Peter wanted to get out, but kind of can't bring himself to get out. We don't know why he moved to the doorway, but definitely it was darker there rather than around the fire, where people could see him. And you can almost imagine the servant girl kind of, you know, Peter's image is imprinted on in her mind, and she says, I'm sure I've seen that guy somewhere before. So she goes and looks for him, and she sees him again, and I'm sure you're one of them, she says. But rather than just say it to him, she says it to the crowd. Well, to those who are kind of the bystanders, who are standing around. I'm sure of it. I've seen him before. No doubt there's a few temple guards there. Maybe even some soldiers there who she tells it to. And Peter denies it again. The one who had spoken, look, Lord, I am never going to die. Even if all of these disciples deny you, I will never deny you. In fact, I am ready to die with you. Proud, confident Peter. Despite what Jesus said, you will deny me? Lord, that's not going to happen. I will never deny you. Where is your courage, Peter, in the face of life's realities? The second denial, however, doesn't seem to be too convincing. Others join in. You've got to be one of them. After all, you're a Galilean. Now, it seems that the Galileans had a bit of a different accent to the Judeans. So the Galileans were up in the north of Israel, and those from Judea in the south. And of course, Jerusalem was in the south. A whole lot of Galileans had come for the feast, for the Passover feast, from the north to Jerusalem in the south. And there was obviously a different accent going on there. And so there always had been a bit of a tension between the Galileans and the Judeans. And with the difference in accents, well, that kind of set them apart. Maybe a little bit like, sometimes, you know, you hear an American speaking and you straight away know where they're from. Because of their accent. After all, Jesus was from there as well. So if Jesus is from there, well, then Peter must be from there. And then Peter must be associated with this Galilean Jesus. And then for a third time, what does Peter do? He denies his Lord. Notice what he says here. This is what they say to Peter. Certainly you're one of them, for you're a Galilean. Verse 71. But he began to invoke a curse on himself and to swear, I do not know this man of whom you speak. He won't even mention Jesus' name. He calls him that man. I don't even know this man of whom you speak. The one who had said, you are the Christ. The one who had preached the gospel. Jesus had sent him out and he'd gone and he'd preached the gospel. He'd driven out demons in the name of Christ. He'd proclaimed Jesus Christ and he'd proclaimed him as the Messiah. Peter and John and James had been on the Mount of Transfiguration and there they'd seen the Christ with some of the veil of his earthly flesh pulled away so they could see some of his glory. How the mighty have fallen. And not only that, he calls down a curse on himself. May I be cursed of God. May God strike me dead if I'm lying to you. Or he swears, he utters oaths using heaven or the temple as witness. and the rooster crows. The second time. And it is as if right here, he has woken Peter. He's woken out of his evil, dark stupor. He has woken out of a dark dream that he was walking through. A dream and a dream that started when he failed to stay awake and to pray and watch in the Garden of Gethsemane. At the crow of the rooster, suddenly, Peter remembers the word of the Lord. He breaks down and he weeps. And so we leave Peter, a broken man. Peter, one of the three. Peter, one of the intimate of Jesus' disciples. The lead up to this, of course, was sleeping in the garden. The lead up to this was, of course, not praying when Jesus had told him, watch and pray. The lead up to this, of course, was Peter's futile attempt to save the Christ with his own sword. The lead up to this, of course, was that distant, hesitant following of Jesus. You see, just because you're bold, it doesn't guarantee faithfulness. Congregation, none of us, I'm sure, knows what it was like for Peter. None of us have had the sword, as it were, put to our throats. None of us have been imprisoned for our faith. The first readers of the Gospel of Mark, probably a church under persecution, probably in Rome, they were reading this. And they were reading about Peter's denial. Those who faced the hangman's noose, those who faced being burnt at the stake, those who faced being thrown to the lions, those who faced the sword. But congregation, how many times have you and I, have we denied our Lord? I don't even care and don't want to start counting the times I have not spoken up. The times I've said that which I should never have said. And then there's all the times that I've said no to Christ and yes to me. All the times that I've said yes to my own anger and my own pleasures and my own desires and no to Christ rather than obedience to Him. You see, this passage is a warning about denying Jesus Christ, isn't it? And Peter's sin was serious. We've said that already. Yes, I will be a faithful follower of you, Jesus Christ. I will love you more than self. I will take up my cross. I will follow you. How many of us have said that? As we stood up here in front of the church and publicly professed our faith, I love you, Lord. And yet we've denied Him. You see, the demands of obedience, the demands of discipleship are high. They're very high. They're the giving of ourselves completely to Jesus Christ. And there's no smudging around the edges. There's no, well, I mean, we didn't literally say, no, I don't know anything about Jesus. No, this has to do with giving our all for Him, following Him to death. Peter had said, Lord, count me in. And we have said, Lord, count me in. Peter fell big time. But congregation, Peter also wept. When Peter realized his sin, he was broken. Notice how he was broken. What is it, you see, what is it that wakes Peter up? It is the word of Christ, isn't it? It's the word of Christ that wakes Peter up. In verse 26 of chapter 14, verse 27 then, I suppose we should say, which we read, Jesus said to them, you're all going to fall away. I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. And Peter said, Lord, even if they all fall away, I'm going to stick with you. And Jesus says, this is what's going to happen. Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. And it's that that comes to his mind. It is that, that word of prophecy. Notice in verse 65, before our passage, some began to spit on him and to cover his face and to strike him, saying, prophesy. And we think, well, Jesus didn't prophesy, so it doesn't matter. Well, actually, he did. And notice that his prophecy comes true. He had prophesied, and his prophecy comes true. What is it, congregation? What is it that broke Peter? It is the word of his master. It is the word of his master, because it wasn't just a word. It was a word that fell into his heart, and he was reminded, this is what Christ said. Congregation, does the word of God challenge us? Does it break us? Does it confront us? Or do we read over it glibly? What a reminder. But how do we get there? How does his word confront us? If I can answer that in a roundabout kind of way, in Acts chapter 4, verse 10, Peter and John, they had just healed this man in the name of Jesus Christ. They healed this man that had been lame. He'd been sitting in front of the temple. And then in verse 10 of chapter 4, we read, let it be known to you. He's standing in front of the Sanhedrin. Probably the same leaders that Jesus was standing in front of in our passage. He's standing in front of them with John. Let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you all. This Jesus is a stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And we say, is this the same guy? The guy that couldn't even stand in front of a slave girl and say, yeah, I know Jesus. The one who now stands in Acts chapter 4 in front of the high and mighty priests and says, it is Jesus Christ of Nazareth whom you crucified. He has been raised. He is exalted. Is this the same guy? How did he get there? God broke him. He broke him. Because you see, Peter realized here that he could not rely on his own strength. He couldn't rely on the sword. He couldn't rely on his own desire to remain faithful to Christ. He couldn't rely on himself. He needed to rely on this Jesus. Jesus, the one who is standing in the other room from Peter. The one who's standing before the Sanhedrin. The one who stood firm in front of not a slave girl, but the high and mighty Jewish rulers. The one who would not fail and who did not fail and who will never fail. Why? So that Peter could be restored. In fact, he took Peter's denial. And Jesus had said, those who deny me, I will deny them before my Father who is in heaven. He takes Peter's denial. And he goes to the cross and he is denied. And he is rejected by his Father in heaven. Congregation, how do we deal with our sin of denial of our Lord? It is not in any way by relying and trusting on ourselves. We will not go from here out of this door and say, this week I'm going to do better. This week I'm going to make sure that I don't deny my Lord. Because I can tell you right now, you'll be just like Peter and I will be just like Peter. No, congregation, we can only go in the strength that Jesus Christ gives to us. In chapter 16, verse 7, after Jesus has been raised from the dead, these angels speak to the woman, and they say in verse 7, but go, tell his disciples and Peter tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. And what happens in Galilee? Remember that story in Galilee where Peter and John and a few of their disciples go fishing and they didn't catch anything all night, and then they come back and they see a man on the shore and they catch a whole lot of fish after Jesus tells them to throw their nets out. And Peter goes to Jesus and Jesus says to him, Peter, do you love me? Three times Jesus asks him that. Do you love me? And Peter says, Lord, you know I love you. And you can feel almost the weight of this question coming on him, can't you? Jesus says, feed my sheep. Jesus restores him. Congregation, it is the word of Christ that will restore you. And it is the word of Christ that propels us to go and to live for him. If you this morning, this afternoon, this evening, are feeling compelled and condemned by your failures, I would ask you, if you've been broken like Peter, would you weep like Peter? Don't turn to yourself. Don't say, I'll try, Peter. Turn to Jesus. And turn to his words of prophecy. A word of prophecy that is not just for Peter and not just for the biblical saints who have fallen and who have been risen up. These words of prophecy, the word of God is for you and for me. And it speaks to you and I just as much today as it did for Peter and as it did for David and as it did for Solomon and for Adam and for Moses and for Abraham and all the saints in history. Tell Peter, tell us all that he is going before you to Galilee. On the cross, Jesus says to those who crucified him, and that congregation is you and I, because our sins nailed him there, Jesus says, Father, forgive them. Forgive them. That is for you and for me. When Jesus says to that thief on the cross, and who in his 11th hour turned to the Christ, Jesus says, today you will be with me in paradise. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Since we are justified by faith, we, you and I, we have peace with God. These are the words of the Son of God, the Word of God. And they're just as true for us today as they were for Christ, for the saints of old, from Christ. And this our Lord Jesus, who stood condemned before the Jewish rulers, who would go to the cross, who would take Peter's place, takes your place. He takes my place. Congregation, live for him. Have him always at the center of our minds and the center of our desires so that we might live for him and honor him not in our own strength, but in the strength that he provides. Amen. Shall we pray? Oh dear Father in heaven, how we need to hear your word of comfort, your word of exhortation, but also your word of comfort. We thank you for our glorious Savior. Oh Lord, we thank you that he took our place. We thank you that even in our denying of our Lord, he was willing. He was willing to give it all so that we would be made right with you. And people that constantly rebel, oh dear God and Father, if there are any here this morning, this afternoon, who have not turned to him, would you convict them, Father? Convict each one of them of sin. And then would you make them see the glories of Jesus Christ? And Father, for those who are burdened and who are heavy laden, would you comfort them with your word? and with the comfort from the cross. And for each one of us here who cannot go into this week without you, O Lord, may we go into this week by the strength that you provide, in the knowledge that our sins have been paid for, that we've been brought into your presence because we have a glorious and wonderful Savior. O Father, please grant us to be reminded of this throughout the week. In the name of this glorious King, the one who gave all, the suffering servant, Jesus Christ. Amen.